Ty, tell us about your research into Royal Raymond Rife, whose name has come up a lot in the years I've been doing this program.
Sure. Yeah, Rife was kind of the pioneer of frequency machines. I mean, he was a scientist back, born in the late 1800s, and he developed a technology that's still being used today in the fields of, you know, optics and electronics. I mean, there are numerous fellows that I know today that are developing and improving on his initial Rife machine. But he basically invented the world's first virus microscope. He was able to actually, he called it dark field microscopy. He called it staining with light. He was able to actually look at live organisms through his microscope, which he was the first person that was able to do that, look at live organisms in the blood.
What did he come up with? What kind of a gizmo, apparatus?
I mean, it was a super-powered microscope. It was a microscope. He called it the Rife Universal Microscope. It was able to magnify things, I think, 60,000 times their normal size.
I mean, did he have some kind of machine where he hooked people up to or anything like that?
Well, yeah, he did. The Rife machine actually is a frequency machine. And what Rife did is he realized that cells operate on certain frequencies, right, because our bodies are electric.
Right.
And he determined that cancer cells have different frequencies than normal cells, and he isolated those frequencies, and he's able to hook people up to his little frequency machine and pulse these frequencies through their body that would kill the cancer cells, and were selectively toxic to the cancer cells, wouldn't hurt the normal cells, just kill the cancer cells.
By the way, I'm told we crashed your website already.
You did. Oh, yeah. You crashed it already. So anyways, for those folks that are trying to get out there to order a signed copy, I'm sorry. It's up and down right now.
A little old Ty expected to have a few hits tonight. And then...
Yeah, I was. I called my hosting company. I'm not going to mention them on the air, but I called them and told them that I was going to have a surge in traffic tonight, and they assured me that that would be no problem.
Well, guess what you're going to tell them tomorrow, right?
Yes.
It takes a while sometimes to calm down and settle down and think.
Yeah,
like
but anyway, for those folks that are trying to order a signed copy, you just keep trying. It's kind of up and down. And
I dare you to give out your home. No, don't do that.
But if those folks that just want to order the book on Amazon, if you just want to get it, because the signed copy is going to take probably three to 4 weeks to get to you, because depending upon how many people order it tonight. But if you just want a book ordered and delivered immediately, just go to Amazon. You can click right through the Coast to Coast website to Amazon and order the book on Amazon.
Why do you think the natural treatments are being suppressed? Because they're inexpensive? What's the reason?
Well, yeah, numerous reasons. Number one, they are inexpensive. And so you can't patent an herb, can't patent a vitamin.
No.
And there's no money in it. They're very inexpensive. And so they're being suppressed for that reason. But they're also being suppressed because they work a lot better than the conventional treatments, than what I call the big three, the slash, poison, and burn protocol of surgery, chemo, and radiation.
Yeah, you don't get, Ty, that much support from the FDA for natural supplements. If anything, they'd prefer nobody takes those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. They would prefer that no one would take natural supplements. I mean, that's why they're coming out recently against vitamin D, saying, oh, don't overdose on vitamin D, when studies at Creighton University have shown that vitamin D can prevent up to 77% of cancers. But the FDA comes out and says, don't take too much vitamin D.
There should be some regulation in that you need to know if somebody says you're getting B17, you're getting a good grade B17 and not some junk, right?
Yeah, that'd be fine. That'd be fine, except the fact that you can't even sell B17 in the United States. You can buy it.
You can buy apricots, though.
Yeah, you can buy apricots. You can buy B17, but you can't sell it in the States. So you know, I take B17 every day, but you have to buy it from Mexico.
And you also have to be careful what you claim.
Exactly. Yeah, you do. And that, a good friend of mine, now that we're on, you know, B17 for a second, a good friend of mine, Jason Vail, who was one of the first alternative cancer guys that I was exposed to back in the mid-90s when I first started researching cancer, he cured his cancer with eating apricot seeds and apple seeds that have laetrile, B17, in them. And he was selling them on his website, and the FDA told him to stop making any kind of claims about, you know, the cancer effects of B17, even though he had over 1,000 testimonials at one point of people that had been totally cured just from eating apricot and apple seeds. But They said, don't make any claims. So he didn't. He took all the claims off his website, but they were still after him. They finally got him in court, and he ended up doing 5 years in a New York State pen for selling apricot and apple seeds on his website making no claims. But the judge would not allow that. He signed an injunction basically saying he wouldn't make any more claims on his website. He would just sell the product but not make any claims. And he took the claims off, but they still took him to jail. And when he went to court, the judge would not allow the injunction in court. And he says, please, judge, just read the injunction because it doesn't say I won't sell them. It just says I won't make claims, which I'm not. And the judge wouldn't allow it in court. He did 5 years in jail.
You should have won on appeal on that one.
Land of the free, home of the brave, George.
I've got a guest. Coach Bob comes on every once in a while. He, you know, talks about motivation. He's got cancer of the neck. He will not go through chemotherapy or radiation. He did for a bit. He stopped it. It made him sick.
Mm-hmm.
He's going natural, you know.
Yep.
God love him. I hope it works out for him. But he will not go through the chemo radiation. But does that work in some cases? Surely we've had successful stories from people who've gone through chemo and radiation, haven't we?
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah, I mean, it works sometimes. It works sometimes with specific kinds of cancer. So for instance, you know, you have Lance Armstrong who had testicular cancer and he radiated and it worked, you know, it cured him.
But he's got to go keep going back, right?
Got to keep going back. Yeah. And but that's a rare type of cancer that radiation works better with that than other kinds of cancer.
Well, correct me on this. When they say you're cured of cancer, what they're telling you, I think, is your blood count shows the cancer level is low. But it's still in your system, as it probably always will be. Is that right?
Sometimes that's what the cure. It depends on what the word cure means. It depends on what kind of a survival time they're looking at. So, for instance, it could be looking at your blood count. You know, as far as you know, are you cured? It could be looking at different elevation counts in your whether it's a CEA count or a HCG count or a PSA count. I mean, there's all kinds of counts in your blood that they can measure the cancer in your system. It could be, did you live past 5 years from the time you were diagnosed? Then you're considered to be cured, even though you might have died at 5.5 years. If it's a 5-year survival they're looking at, then you're considered to be cured. Even if you're dead, you know, after the 5 years, you're considered to be a cure. So you got to watch what the word cure means. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean, chemo and radiation works sometimes. There was a study that was done by the Royal Cancer Clinic in northern Sydney, Australia, that was done, I think it was in 99 or 2000. It was published in the National Institute of Health back in 2005. And they looked at the effects of chemotherapy on a 5-year survival rate and determined it to be 2.1% in the United States, 2.1% effective.
What? So, what did you mean by the term medical mafia?
Medical mafia. Well, I mean, it's kind of a slang term, and I didn't originate that term. I didn't coin it. I mean, it was originally used by a doctor up in Kennedy, Ghislaine Langto, that wrote a book called The Medical Mafia. But when I look at what's going on today in the medical field, it kind of resembles kind of what you would think of the Cosa Nostra doing to people when they kind of disagree with them.